match overall was what it was. It wasn't, in my opinion, quality enough to have even been a main event on a Monday Night Raw, because it wasn't trying to be. And I think that's the thing a lot of people are missing here that were criticizing it. The match was trying to tell a story, but not actually have an in-ring, you know, fives. No one's going to think of, oh, let's get a five-star Tokyo Dome Classic, and then they throw out R-Truth and John Cena for the picks. You know, that's not happening. We know who these guys are. We know their wrestling styles. That ain't it. Not to say they aren't great wrestlers in their own rights based on their own styles. They are. But I like what the match was representing. That's the overall important thing about this bout, was what it represented. Sidebar, one thing I wanted to point out that no one did was when John Cena entered and his nameplate in the career highlight graphics popped up, it said his win-loss record against Truth was 1 win, 2 career losses to R-Truth. That means R-Truth has beaten Cena twice in the past. And that's on record. And I like that they brought that up, because it adds a little bit more of a legitimacy to Truth's, you know, in-ring ability in coming face-to-face with a 17-time world champion in John Cena. This isn't just some goofy comedy wrestler going up against Cena. Truth is a former champion. I'm not even counting the fucking 24/7 title. He's a former tag champion, former United States champion. But he's also can say, hey, I have 2 wins over a 17-time world champion. He can say that. And I like that they pointed that out, because, you know, a lot of people would probably throw R-Truth into the same category of an Otis or an Akira Tozawa or something like that. You know, comedy, fodder, jobber. That's what people think. They're in their own tier, right? The people in catering, essentially. But, you know, it's funny because people are forgetting just how long Ron Killings has been doing this shit. He's had 2 runs with the WWE, this obviously being his longest, because he also had a stint with TNA. But he's been in the collectively in the WWE for like almost 20 fucking years, right? So I think that there's a lot to be said about the fact that even his career has, even though he's been off TV for long amounts of time and he's never left, he's been around the block a lot. He's seen a lot of people come and a lot of people go, and people always forget the man is in his mid-50s, you know, and he's still going. I think he's the oldest active wrestler on the roster. So when it comes down, because he's like 56. So when it comes down to it, I like that the match was telling the story of, it's not just the good Cena versus the bad Cena. It was literally Cena having to get in a ring and confront himself, having to confront the person that he's trying to bury deep, deep down inside of himself. And Truth did a great job, because Truth could have busted out his own moves. Truth played mind games here, and that's not being talked about enough. He was playing mind games with John. Every move he used in the match was John's moves. He didn't do Truth and Consequences. He didn't throw the axe kick or the scissor kick, that at least not that I remember. He didn't go for the lie detector, which is the giant jumping tornado spin elbow. You know, he literally used all of Cena's moves, shoulder tackles, five knuckle shuffle, actually hit a full blown clean attitude adjustment, even locked in the STF. Okay. I mean, this is, for what it was, the purpose of the match was more of a pit stop in Cena's heel run for Cena to be confronted with who everybody wishes he was versus how he himself currently feels. And I think that they did a great job with that. The match is what the match was. The moves serve the purpose for the overall mental storytelling that they're doing, which is really about John Cena's emotions and that inner turmoil that we're hoping that he has. The title smack works because it was a great way to walk off him, basically looking at R-Truth as someone just to run through and overlook. He didn't even look back at him. He just walked straight through him with that title and kept going like he was nothing but gum on the bottom of his shoe. And I think that even though Cena definitely used that title as a distraction to low blow, you can still say that maybe there was maybe at some point some crack in his armor. It is possible that for a moment he did feel like he had made a mistake and then quickly realized, wait, I'm not going to let you pull me back over, and then low blow in that instance. We'll have to see, because we know what this results in later in the evening, which we're going to get to. But I think over the entire encompassing last year of his run, there might be several people that he runs into that he's going to have to, that are going to probably confront him with himself in some way or another, that they are going to step up to him as an opponent, but also as a reminder of who he should be versus who he's become. And I think R-Truth was the first step in that. And I think this was a right move and it made sense, but it definitely didn't need to be the main event for what the in-ring match was. But I'm glad at least it got a showcase in his last year for his last run, so we could actually still get to see, you know, what they've been building with Truth and the Cena stuff for a couple years now. Because people already forget, Cena also tagged with Awesome Truth like just a little over a year and a half ago, you know, as a babyface, and they won. That was the first match John had won in like over 2,000 days or some shit, was that tag match. So I think this did what it needed to do. I'm looking forward to it. And I think that Truth really brought out some good work from Cena. But I think that we also got to see a lot of great shit from Truth that we haven't gotten to see in a while. And it was nice and refreshing that he got that chance.
There was only one issue I had with the match. It kind of felt like and this isn't the issue. I'll get to the issue after I'm done saying what I liked about the match. The match, it felt like a squash match until Truth got the few John Cena moves in, like the shoulder tackles, the five knuckle shuffles, the thing that looks like a blue thunder bomb a little bit, the attitude adjustment, and I think he got something else in. I don't remember what, but the only thing I didn't like about the match is that it was too boring. To me, it was boring. I felt like what it needed was to be a title match instead of a non-title match. To me, I would have enjoyed this a lot more if it was for the title. Like, the bits and pieces of John, like, using the title to distract Truth and the ref, it just felt like, oh, this would be something that we would see in a title match. But that's just the one thing that pissed me off about this match, is that it wasn't for the title. I would have loved to see Truth take that from Cena, which probably would have ended up happening, but everyone can hope.
All right, moving on then. The fourth match of the night, 4 out of 5 matches on this Saturday's main event, was a steel cage match between Drew McIntyre and Damian Priest. Now, this match was one of the ones that I was looking forward to the most, because there's a lot of history here with these two. These guys have been feuding since, what, WrestleMania of last year? And they've had several matches, and this was going to be the big blow-off match. And I didn't know what was going to happen. I didn't know who was going to win. This pretty much was like up in the air for me, right? There was a lot of important spots in this match, a lot of great moments in this match, everything from the superplex. And, you know, these were two guys that had a lot of heat with each other. They built up the steel cage match pretty well, I thought. The big superplex from the top of the cage was one of my favorite parts. The ending of this match, it ended with Damian Priest hitting Drew McIntyre with the concerto of all things, which that was created by Edge back in the day. And that got brought up also. Michael Cole mentioned that this is how Damian Priest defeated Edge at some point. That spot right there, just it looks brutal, doesn't it? Like, I always worry every time they do that spot, because if they don't do it right, it could end pretty fucking badly. But yeah, Damian Priest he won again. And I don't know about you guys, but I think Damian Priest, he came out looking better in this feud than Drew McIntyre. Because after this match, I believe Damian Priest is 3-1 over Drew McIntyre since last year of WrestleMania. I think they've had 4 matches. Damian Priest won 3 of them, which is crazy to think about. But yeah, I really enjoyed this match, the steel cage match. I thought it was hilarious that Jesse Ventura was giving Damian Priest shit because of how he won. He just walked out the cage. But really interesting stuff here. And then later on after the match, you know, we heard the news that Drew McIntyre is going to take off time. He's going to go and recover. Man, a lot of things were going through my mind while I was watching this. And I thought that was really great. But, BT, I believe you're up. What did you think about this?
I loved it. I loved the clips that I saw, the concerto on Drew McIntyre, and I'm so glad that Michael Cole paid respect and shouted out Edge, brought me the tears. Another teary moment for me, as you guys will know, Edge is the reason that I got into pro wrestling and into WWE in particular. I still watch some of the stuff that he does in AEW. Shout out Adam Copeland. I loved that. I loved that moment. Hitting him with the concerto was a pretty nice touch. And it was so brutal. So fucking brutal. Like, one of the reactions I saw, that kicking it with Ross guy, he said he's unalive. He was. Bro. But, fuck Jesse Ventura, bro. How many people have you seen walk out of a fucking steel cage through the fucking door?
I don't think he's seen any.
Where was he when Roman Reigns dragged Seth Rollins out of the steel cage in the Monday Night Raw Classic with CM Punk? Where was he then? Because Seth Rollins fucking won that match and he didn't even walk out. He was fucking dragged out. Somebody needs to show Jesse Ventura the fucking footage of that match. But yeah, I thought Drew McIntyre laying unalive in the ring after the concerto and Damian Priest basically just walking out, looking strong as hell, which I fucking loved. I thought that was an amazing finish. That was awesome. And I think that was a really good payback for what happened at WrestleMania 41 after the Claymore onto the steel chair in the turnbuckles. Holy shit, that was brutal. You think that was brutal? Hit him with a fucking concerto. I've been really enjoying this McIntyre and Priest feud. I remember saying during the WrestleMania predictions that the McIntyre and Priest feud was going to be probably one of the most underrated feuds in WWE right now. You know, because they have history and they are fucking, they have hatred. They have heat and hatred for each other, bro. This, just because they don't have a title doesn't mean it can't be fucking personal. And this is one of those feuds where It's savage beyond savagery. No title used, but it's actually fucking watchable. This is CM Punk and Drew McIntyre, CM Punk and Seth, the Fight Forever Heat. That's what these two have. And I can't wait to see what they do next, but a hell of a finish. But yeah, somebody needs to show Jesse Ventura that fucking Seth and Punk match on Monday Night Raw. Like, Roman can get away with dragging a motherfucker out of the steel cage, and the motherfucker that got dragged out of the steel cage wins that fucking match, but Damian Priest can't just walk out nonchalantly? Go fuck yourself, Jesse Ventura.
I'd like to point out here as well, but before I do, I have two major points I want to make about this, but all in all, I love the match. Thought the match was great. Great steel cage match. We've been getting a lot of those. Well, because, you know, you know, the difference between Vince McMahon and Triple H booking is that Triple H will book certain matches like feud ender style gimmick matches. He'll book them with purpose. Vince McMahon wanted to make everything a fucking gimmick. We had a Fatal 4-Way pay-per-view. We have Extreme Rules. We turned Money in the Bank from a match on WrestleMania into a PLE. Then it was, you know, the fucking, he made a gimmick out of the goddamn Hell in a Cell and desaturated that. Like, you know, gimmick matches work better when they're used seldom. Very, very, very little. You only pull it out when it's an absolute break glass, you know, the feud has hit an absolute peak and it needs to be, you know, paid off in a way that is epic. And one thing about this rivalry that I loved is that their rivalry consistently escalated. It went from one-on-one matches to street fights to attacking each other through cars and backstage to then going all the way to a freaking cage match. It escalated perfectly to a cage match. It didn't just go, I'll see you in a steel cage. No, they feuded for well over a year on and off and then kept coming back to each other, feuded over the United States title, kept screwing each other, stole titles from each other at WrestleMania, screwed each other out of wins at pay-per-views. It escalated properly to the point where it's like, dude, you know what? Steel cage match. And that makes sense. I'm glad it's not just, you know, Seth Rollins and The Fiend have had problems. Hell in a Cell. You know, like, no, this was properly built. And I thought the match was awesome. I love that they had Drew pull out of freaking South of Heaven. I thought that was great. And I thought Damian sold his own move perfectly. I was waiting for him to pull out his own Claymore on Drew. But I will say, and man, yes, Drew is also being written off TV to go potentially have neck surgery. He's been dealing with neck issues for a while. And apparently, this match was to write him off. Now, people also need to understand when they're like, well, you know, Damian's won a lot of their feud. It should have been Drew. In pro wrestling, if you're going to be gone for a while, the smartest thing you can do, the right thing to do, it's called doing business, is to put the other guy over strong on the way out. So he knows he's going to be gone for an extended period of time. He's making sure Damian leaves with the proper momentum to help him carry forward. So Drew going out the way he went is good because it helps Damian while he's gone. And that's just the right thing to do in the business. The ending that people are complaining about, this is my major point that people are complaining about, is they thought the match ended lackluster. Him just walking out, standing there, turning around and then walking out. And people were booing. People were actually starting to boo when he walked out, because people were shouting and cheering for one more time after the concerto. They got mad when he started exiting the ring and they were booing him walking out of the ring. Here's the reason he walked out of the ring. Because if you think like a logical professional wrestling fan, you actually are following the fucking story and not just wanting to see flashy shit. Damian walked out because in their build, Drew said, at this match, two of us are going in, and only one of us is walking out, and the other is getting carried out on a stretcher. Damian decided, instead of pinning him, instead of climbing out, he would prove that he was the man that was going to walk out, and he tried to make sure Damian was the one that left needing a stretcher. Or sorry, Drew needing to use a stretcher. Only Drew was stubborn and refused the help, and they even brought the stretcher out to him. So stop bitching. The finish happened that way because the story predicated it to happen with one of them walking out and the other one needing assistance. It was the point of it. The second major point, this match ending, I hated. And I didn't hate it because of either man in the ring, and I didn't hate it because of the finish. The finish got ruined for me by Jesse Ventura. Because Jesse Ventura, pissing and moaning all over the finish as Damian is walking out, and then shitting all over the fact that he walked out, instead of putting over the match being an epic clash of titans, nothing positive over the in-ring work, nothing about how these men have been feeding for years, and man, what a match. This was great. You know, he walked out. He said he was going to walk out, and he did it. Nothing. Just what a BS way to end a match. What a lackluster way to end a steel cage match. That was anticlimactic. And all I could think was, dude, you are literally burying their finish. He was legit burying their finish. As it's happening, the bell hadn't rung, and he's burying Damian for walking out. And then when the match ends, you can literally hear Michael Cole trying to put the match over and over again. He keeps trying to come back to putting over the match. And Jesse's just straight up burying it, trying to bury it louder than Michael Cole can praise it. And that right there ruined the ending for me, because I was like, well, you just cut this dude's fucking microphone. And that's another thing. With the last Saturday Night Main Event, because this is the third one, so actually the last two, when he's been on with Joe Tessitore, they've had to rein Jesse Ventura back in over and over again when he's on the microphone. They keep having to rein him in, redirect him back to the point. Take him off the Saturday Night Main Events. Take him off. Because he's doing this thing that old timers sometimes do, where they get in the spotlight and they try to make it about them. So he's trying to talk louder than the actual full-time color commentators. And he's trying to make his points seem grander than the veteran fucking commentator in goddamn Michael Cole. He's trying to take most of the commentary away from Pat McAfee so he can't commentate with his fucking regular weekly partner. Take Jesse Ventura off the fucking shows. If he's not going to listen to you, if you don't talk to him and tell him, dude, you just buried one of our most important feud. And that's the worst part. This is the end of their feud. And he buried the finish of their final fucking match. Like, take him off the show, bro. Way to kill the buzz. Way to kill the mood, bro. That's all I'm saying. And if I'm wrong, tell me I'm wrong. Please, somebody.
No, you're not. I agree with you 100%, Mr. Blood. It just feels like I get kind of worried when he's on the screen because I don't know what he's going to say. It feels like he's going to say some crazy shit, you know? And I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. I don't think it's a bad thing. I mean, I don't think it's a good thing. I think that's a bad thing when you're like, oh my God, this is going to end bad, you know? And then at one point too, he was talking over the in-ring announcer. I forgot which match it was.
It was literally during the opening of the steel cage match when she was announced, when she was talking about the rules. So everybody in the arena could hear the rules, and everybody at home, you know, all the people who were new to wrestling, who were coming in as new fans to NBC, who were trying to check it out for the first time and understand how to win a steel cage match. He's yapping the fuck away over the woman on TV, because remember, the in-ring fans don't hear the commentary. The at-home crowd does. So for all the people who were new trying to figure out how a steel cage match works, I've never seen this. Oh, this looks crazy and cool. Well, how do you win a steel cage match? I don't know. She's telling us. And then you've got this fucking dude yapping away, talking over her. Dude, cut his fucking microphone or get on the horn with him from the back. Triple H, tell him, or tell Michael Cole to tell him to shut the fuck up. For real. It made them look like amateurs on commentary because it made them seem so uncoordinated and disorganized. Like,
yeah,
get him off.
I don't know where Toxic went, so Tommy, I believe you're up.
Yeah, so I completely understand where in the world Blood is coming from with this. I truly do. Because as he was saying that, oh, this is the end of their feud and all of that, I'm like, really? He buried this so damn much that I didn't think it was the end of the fucking feud. That is how bad he buried this. Where right after the match, he's yapping. And I'm just like, okay, are they going to do one more match? And then Bled says, oh, this is the ending of it. What? This is the ending, and he's going to keep on fucking yapping and all of that? What the hell? And when it comes to the ending, I loved it! Because it brought back an old move that Damian Priest hasn't used since before Edge went out. That was the last move ever used on Edge, was the concerto. And I'm like, okay, bringing back this move and slowly walking out like a badass. That is awesome. I loved it. And yes, Snug, that thing is terrifying. Because you've got one chair underneath your head and then the other one being slammed on top. It is terrifying to even watch. Like, I watched that, and I'm just like, ooh! Did he break his neck again? Like, it hurts to watch the concerto. It truly does. Because after the chair goes under, you're realizing, wait. This man's about to make a chair sandwich. What the fuck? This is scary now. But back to the match at hand, the ending, again, I'm saying fuck Jesse Ventura, get him the hell out of here. Like, truly, get him out. Like, even, like, in between matches and all of that, he still has times where he just goes off topic altogether. Like, especially tonight, there was one point where he's just like, you think Mike Tyson can go one more leap? I'm like, what the hell, dude?
You think Tyson is going to take a dive or something like that?
Yeah, like take one more dive? Like, dude. Yeah,
I didn't understand
focus
that.
Focus on the night. Like, Mike Tyson has nothing to do with everything that is happening this night besides the connection with Logan Paul. That is it. That is the only connection that Mike Tyson has to tonight. It makes no sense. Just take Jesse Ventura out. Take him out.
I mean, he does bring some good insights every now and then. He's not terrible, but like, he just has no regard for the show. He's just there to do whatever the fuck he wants, and yeah, you can
he's
tell.
He's just there to be a legend that's there.
Yeah. Go ahead, that's Toxic.
He becomes a distraction.
Toxic.
Yeah, my bad. My phone died. Anyways, the match was amazing. I don't know how to say it. The concerto, I think. I don't know. Correct me if I said it. Okay, I said it right. The concerto, dope. Everything about the match, including them hitting each other's finishers, like Damian hit a Claymore and Drew hit a South of Heaven. Yeah, he did. Damian hit a Claymore.
Shit, I must have missed that then.
Everything.
Maybe I blinked.
About I think Michael Cole said it was something else, but everything else exceeded my expectations of this match. I knew it wasn't going to go on to be like, oh, CM Punk and Drew McIntyre. I knew it wasn't going to be like the Hell in a Cell, but I thought it was going to be like a miniature version, and it exceeded that into almost that. The only complaint is, oh boy, won't you guess? Jesse Ventura, or however else you say his name. To be honest, I don't really give a fuck. That's how annoying he was. I don't give a fuck how to say his last name. He ruined it. The ending buried it. Like, wait, that you can just win a match by walking out of the cage? I mean, if you're going to do that, at least climb over it. And I just imagine being Pat McAfee like, dude, shut the fuck up and just enjoy the match.
The problem is he was too busy talking while Alicia Taylor was laying the rules down. Otherwise, he would have caught that part.
It wasn't Alicia.
Yeah, it was Lillian.
That wasn't Alicia.
Oh, Lillian Garcia.
Yeah, that was our girl Lillian.
Yeah, and it just that pissed me off before the match even started. Lillian is laying the ground rules down for the people at home that maybe don't know how to win a steel cage match. That maybe have been living under a rock as a WWE fan, or just genuinely doesn't know anything about it. Like, in my head, I said, dude, shut the fuck up. So Lillian, this goated commentator, can do her job and explain the rule. Like, the people in the arena, yeah, they got it. People at home didn't hear a fucking thing. Jesse pissed me off. If this is going to happen every single Saturday night main event, I do not care for whatever match he is commentating. From now on, I do not care. If he is going to get another legend, hell, I would even be fine with Hulk fucking Hogan. Yes, I said it. I would be fine with Hogan at commentator. Then Jesse Ventura. Yes, I know I'm going to get a lot of shit from that. But that's how much he pissed me off. Like, I rarely would say something like that, like, fuck Hulk Hogan, but God damn, Jesse, shut the fuck up.
The sad part is, dude, you're not wrong. You're going to be getting a lot of hate for it, but I'm with you on this one.
Problem is, Hulk Hogan would just still find a way to make it all about himself. You know, my pythons used to be as big as the steel around these cages, brother. But yeah, get a ref in there. Just, Jesse, you're out.
Yeah, get your bitch ass out of here.
All right, y'all, main event time. Logan Paul versus Jey Uso, world heavyweight title. Main event, Jey Uso, actually in the main event. So I wasn't really sure at first. You know, I think we talked about this already. I thought it was going to be the cage match for a second. I thought because it's Cena, it was going to be Cena. But no, it was Jey Uso. Makes perfect sense, especially because of how this thing ended. The match between them two started off really slow for me. It was just like I was just waiting for something to happen. It wasn't the most exciting thing. And then John Cena interfered and I'm like, what the fuck? You know, we saw earlier before the match, Jey Uso and John Cena had like a little backstage segment face to face. The first time they've seen each other since the Royal Rumble, after Jey Uso eliminated John Cena, and we see them again months later. Both are now champions. One is champion on Raw. The other's champion on SmackDown. And then John Cena interferes. He attacks Jey Uso, and I'm thinking, what the fuck, you know? And then Cody Rhodes comes out. We haven't seen Cody since Mania. He returned and he assisted Jey Uso, his brother, his former tag team partner. And Jey Uso he was able to pick up the win. He retained versus Logan Paul. And Cody Rhodes made the challenge. Tag team match. John Cena is going to be tagging with Logan Paul to face Cody Rhodes and Jey Uso at Money in the Bank. And that made this whole match, for me, made it worth the wait. Because I thought the match between Jey and Logan Paul, I thought it was going to be, there's going to be more excitement there. I mean, I don't remember watching this match before all the shenanigans happened thinking, okay, this is a dope match. It was just kind of just like, yeah. But what did you think? Who's up? I think Blood.
Me. I will say that I like, let me put it this way. What a difference 4 months makes. You know, from the Rumble all the way to now, you never would have, it's kind of cool and kind of crazy to think, hey, the guy who won the Royal Rumble, who eliminated John Cena in his last Royal Rumble, five months later, they're now both the world champions or respective main championship holders on the respective opposite brands. It's kind of cool how that works out, how the storytelling works out, because, you know, if you take your mind back to then, you wouldn't think that at the moment you're watching Jey eliminate John, that in the moment he eliminates him, one, you're not realizing Jey's going to win the damn thing. And two, you're not thinking John Cena turns heel a month later in Elimination Chamber. Three, you're definitely not thinking they're both going to be in world title matches at Mania literally 2 months after that. And then to get to tonight where now they're tagging against each other, Money in the Bank. You know, it's kind of crazy what a difference a few months makes. And I think it's really cool when you think of that timeline. Not to mention the fact that these two also have history from years ago when the Usos were still doing the Uso penitentiary thing and John Cena fucking dropped a rap on both of them and said, you look just like your mugshots. And, you know, it's kind of cool to think. I thought the match was, I thought it was fine. I will say, coolest spot of the entire night was that fucking buckshot lariat countered into a super kick. I thought Logan sold the hell out of that. I thought that was the cleanest sequence of the night. That was cool. And John interfering, setting up the tag match with him and Logan versus Cody and Jey. I think that's awesome. That's going to be exciting. And I think we can all take a deep breath and praise the universe. Hallelujah, Baba Laga, Baba Yaga, whomever, John fucking Wick. We can praise the heavens that we're not getting what was rumored, which was John Cena and Travis Scott versus those two at Money in the Bank. So thank the Lord that ain't happening. Because the only Scott that I care about is the toilet paper I use to wipe my ass. And as far as it is concerned, I was dreading a Travis Scott run-in tonight. I was afraid that was happening. I really fucking did. And when John had that segment with Jey backstage, that reinforced my fear. I was like, oh no, I already can tell John. Because John literally ends that segment by saying, I'll be watching your match very closely. He's like, this motherfucker's going to interfere. And then I thought, oh God, wait, wait, wait. If he interferes, oh no, if we hear Fiend, I was like, oh, balls, don't do it, please. Oh, and thank God it's him and Logan. So we got four workers in the match for Money in the Bank, and at least they're all wrestlers. Here's the other thing, and I've seen a lot of complaints online in the last 24 hours about how the match felt slow, how Jey specifically looked like he was moving very slow in the ring. And the point I made in those comments is the point I'm going to make here. Who the hell in their right mind would expect Jey and Logan to go balls to the walls crazy on a Saturday night main event when it's a glorified house show, when they don't even have like a full 20 minutes for a title match, when it's a 2 week fucking build to a feud essentially, and we already know it's going to have a run-in interference. Why would they put on a fucking banger There, what's the point? Save your energy. You know, have a match, at least a half decent match, and get the fuck out of there. This is Saturday Night Main Event, man. This isn't a PLE. This isn't Mania. This isn't live on Netflix. I already, this feud, the entire time this feud has gone on, they've interacted like three times, two and a half times. And two of those times have been Jay getting knocked out and not even talking words to Logan. Just cheap shots. They've had one actual promo against each other. So as far as I'm concerned, it was what it was for what it needed to be for what the feud fucking was. And that's it. You know, as far as I'm concerned, it didn't need to be this fucking ultra mega fucking classic. And at the same time, I mean, at least we got it out of the way. Because everybody was afraid and worried they were going to put that fucking title on Logan. And no one wants that. I don't know a single person who genuinely wants to see Logan Paul as a world heavyweight champion. legitimately. I think, I mean, give it to him at some point, but not right now. And certainly not at the expense of Jay's run, which is still only a month and a week or so into its infancy. So it still has plenty of more time to cook. Also, we got the return of fucking Cody. Thank God. Let's get some energy injected back into this fucking heel turn from John, since The Rock couldn't be bothered to follow through on his bullshit. Okay, good. So Cody's back. Some more energy for SmackDown. Now we also have Cody back in time for the potential draft coming up in the next handful of weeks. So now we get to see a shakeup and Cody's involved in that. This is good stuff. We shouldn't be complaining about this. People being angry at the match, Jay was moving a little slower. I'm not giving it my fucking all either, bro. And the one main thing, the only problem I have with this match before I'm done and pass it on, the only problem I have with this match, the logic. The moment John Cena yanked that ref out, when that ref stood up, it should have been a DQ. He should have rang the fucking bell. Jay shouldn't even had to have fought to get back to the pin. It should have automatically been a DQ when the ref got up, or they should have had another ref run all the way down to do the cover. Because that was my only problem. You yanked him out of the ring. That's a DQ. That's the only issue I had, was the logic of how they did that spot. Didn't make sense. Yank him out. Okay. Have Earl Hebner or somebody run in to do the pin. The ref knows a ghost didn't fucking pull me out of this ring. Oh, John Cena's here. Hey, you're not supposed to be in this fucking match. Ding, ding, ding. That simple. That was the only issue I had. Other than that, it was fine. And we got a great setup for Money in the Bank, an actual event that matters. So, and no Travis Scott. That's a win.
Oh boy, don't I have a lot to say on this. First off, another day with Jay still with his title. Four letters, one word, yeet. Now, I saw a few things, and one of them I want to thank Blood for, because I'm like, oh boy, wait. As I'm watching, oh wait, what if Blood would say something like, oh, Travis Scott's going to come out, and we're going to get a tag match between Cena and Scott and Jay and someone else. And then I just have the idea, wait, what if it's Logan? Because Logan says, if I hear Fiend one more time, I'm going to punch Travis Scott so hard in the face. So after the match, I thought, like, as I see Cena, I'm like, okay, so Jay's going to probably, like, super kick him. And then, yeah, that stupid-ass song. And then Jay's going to hit a pulverizer, or not Jay. Logan's going to hit a pulverizer on Travis. And, like, hey, since his bum-ass is out here, how about I team up with that bum-ass and we take on both of you bum-asses? That was one of the things running through my mind. The other is after the fact that Cody's music hit, I'm like, oh my God, Cody's back. Cody Crybaby for life. I think about, okay, obviously one of them is losing because both world titles are in the match, in the tag match at Money in the Bank. And I think if you want to keep Jay over as much as he already is, you would have him win. And Cody's just coming back. So I think it would make sense for Jay and Cody to win, but that's not where my point goes. I think the winner of the Money in the Bank match, which hopefully it's LA Knight, cashes in on Cena. Cinema. I would so much enjoy it. That's how, like, LA wins it before the match. The match is right after the Money in the Bank match. And then, boom. Anyways, this match was amazing, and it had a lot of things running in my head. So, yeet.
Welcome back to the American Nightmare, Cody Rhodes. Now, I am happy that we got a tag match out of this. I am going to say what we all are thinking. Keep Travis Scott away from a fucking wrestling ring. Fuck off. Stay away. Nobody wants to hear the most repetitive song since Baby by Justin Bieber. Nobody wants to hear that shit. Especially during a wrestling show. Stay away. Now, this is what I'm going to say for the people hating on Jey Uso. He said it after the show went off air. He also said it before. He said it during as well. Saturday night's main event marked 15 years of him being in the WWE since his debut. How about you look at his debut match and look at him now and look at the wild progression that this man has had. Holy shit. For the people hating on Logan Paul, I get it, but here's the thing. You have to give this man his flowers. You have to admit that when it comes to this sport, he's right in saying that this is his sport, for sure. Every moment that he's in the ring, it goes viral. Just plain and simple. You have to give this man his flowers. Because if you don't, you are clearly delusional. It's that simple. This man is fantastic in the ring. And again, he proved that tonight. Holy crap. Now, Cena coming out. Boy, was that expected. That was predictable. Ever since that little talk backstage of, you know what? You are part of one of the most infamous families in our industry. You want to know what would ruin wrestling? If by the time my clock hits zero, I run off with this. And that title is around the waist of a YouTuber. Now that would ruin wrestling. I'm like, oh boy, he's going to come in, isn't he? He's going to come in, isn't he? I get it, he's watching it, but he's going to come in. Boy, did he do that! it was kind of expected, especially with the way it happened. Now, Cody, glad you're back, bro. Haven't seen you since WrestleMania. At least you came back in a way better time than Roman Reigns did. Plain and simple. You came back sooner than Roman. And you still had time to go to the opening of Epic Universe. Yeah, I saw that. You still had time to go to the opening. Great. Now, match at hand. I'm with blood on this one. It should have ended in disqualification via Cena. I get why it didn't, because if it didn't, we probably would not have gotten Cody coming back the way he did. That is probably why there was no disqualification there. I get that. And that is most likely why. but it still should have ended in DQ. We may have not have gotten the big pop that we did as soon as Cody came out, but still, we still could have gotten it, technically. It ends in DQ. Cena still pounds away on Jay. And then Cody comes out. There you go. Tag match. Here's my thing. You want to keep three of these men strong? There's only one man to take the pin. Pin Logan. Pin Logan Paul. You want to keep your two champions strong along with the returnee? The only man to pin is Logan Paul. As much as he's a great wrestler, he needs to take that pin. As much as I hate to say it, he does. I think he's taking it by Jay.
I unfortunately didn't watch any of the highlights for this match, so I really don't have any thoughts on Jay versus Logan. The return of Cody Rhodes, I'm very happy to see him back. His presence is very much needed on SmackDown. Because, not going to lie, I've kind of missed his feeling of presence on SmackDown. I'm not going to lie. So I realize my hypocrisy there. I'm sorry for the hatred that I spread over to him a couple of times. You can flame me for that. but that's the difference between me and you, IWC. I can take accountability for my hypocrisy. You cunts just can never. That's the difference. But Cody Rhodes, NJ versus John Cena and Logan Paul and Money in the Bank. There are reports going around that this could be a six-man tag match with Travis Scott being involved. And one of the names that was brought up was R-Truth being involved, trying to regurgitate the story of trying to bring back John Cena. I wouldn't mind it. But keep Travis Scott the fuck away from the ring. He is not Logan Paul. He cannot be... I would love to see Travis Scott surprise us. I mean, I'm one of those guys that saw Bad Bunny at WrestleMania 37 come in and completely steal the night. I'm hopeful that Travis Scott can do well. But for the sake of everybody's sanity and mine, is this something that we really need? Or is this just a money grab? Like, and I do not want to hear the most repetitive song since WAP! I don't want Travis Scott in the ring. Please keep this a tag match between John and Logan and Cody and Jay. I'm very excited for Money in the Bank in a few weeks. Welcome back, Cody Rhodes. And for the one time. Whoa!
All right, y'all. Well, that was Saturday night's main event. Overall, I thought it was a great show. I really liked what they did there. They gave us a lot of stuff to look forward to. Set up Money in the Bank. We got some exciting stuff coming up ahead tomorrow on Monday Night Raw, or today for some of us, I should say. So, yeah, we'll be on the lookout for that. Until next time, my name is Edgar. I'm the host of Snug Wrestling. Goodbye. Good night. Team No Yee. Let's get the fuck out of here.
One word.
One letter. One word.